Amen. Appreciate that message and song. Appreciate you singing. I've thought about, I'm not going to say that. People will take it wrong. But I appreciate you singing tonight. I really do. Take your Bible tonight, if you will, to two passages of Scripture. Psalms chapter 150, if you would, and then Job chapter 1. Psalms 150 and Job chapter 1. And we'll read these verses tonight and try to preach to you just for a little bit. Psalms 150 first. The Bible there in the very last verse in the book of Psalms says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Amen. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You know, sometimes, and maybe far too often, we get the idea that praise is reserved for when everything is going right, or when everything is going our way, or at least when we're surviving without too much effort, you know. But that's not true. I want you to back up. I want you to look at Job in Job chapter 1, verse 20. Here's Job after his family's has all been killed, and after all of his wealth has been lost. And we find him in verse 20. The Bible said, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Here's Job at as low point in your life as you could be at, and he's still praising the Lord. He's still praising the Lord. You know, I don't think I've ever, stopped and thought a little bit. I don't think I've ever preached a message on praising the Lord, but I'm fixing to, all right? That's what I'm about to do. Look, when the world's in upheaval, when you're having personal problems, when all looks bleak and gloomy and hope pretty much seemingly gone, just go ahead and praise the Lord, okay? Just go ahead and praise the Lord. It's probably not as bad as you think it is in the first place, but we ought to just praise the Lord, all right? You know, we sometimes think, well, praise, that's for the charismatic. No, it's not. It's for every child of God. We ought to be praising the Lord. Now, I'm not saying you got to raise your hand, dance a jig, and run up and down the aisle, okay? But you don't have to do all of that to praise the Lord. But we ought to be people that praise Him. And I just want to preach to you a little bit tonight. Until the trumpet sounds, amen, I'll keep praising the Lord. Amen. I'll just keep praising Him. You see, there's always a reason for praise. There is always a reason for praise. Keep your hand in Psalms, because we're going to be in Psalms, all right? Amen. But go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, you get over there in verse 11, and we see the beasts are gathered there, and 24 elders are falling down and worshiping before the throne. And we see verse 11, they saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Hey, He is worthy to be praised. And there's always a reason for praise. Now, you need to be grateful that I'm not going to try to cover every reason tonight, okay? Because we'd be here just too long. But look in Psalms, and like I said, we're going to be in Psalms tonight. The book Psalms says a lot about praising the Lord. Psalms 107, if you'll go there and look with me at verse 21, all right? Just take a look here, verse 21. I think this is a good place to start as far as a reason to praise the Lord. Psalms 107, verse 21, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness." For His goodness. Do you ever just stop and think about the goodness of God? The goodness of God. I was yesterday at a birthday party, all right? And there was a point there where I was at a mild, calm state at that birthday party. And I was sitting next to a friend, and he made this statement. He said, "The Lord sure has been good to me." And I said, man, I can say amen to that for sure. His goodness, the Bible said his goodness endureth to all generations. All generations. That means he's good to the young and the old, all right? Now, he's good to the middle age too, all right? He is good to the good and the bad. He's good to the rich and the poor. He's good to the tall and the short, the pretty and the ugly, the fat and the skinny, all right? He's good. He is just good, and his goodness is seen all the time. He's good to everybody. His goodness is such that it is absolutely impossible to measure it. How would you measure the goodness of God? Just think, how would you stop to even begin to think about measuring the goodness of God? That's the reason to praise him, because he is so good. He's been good to us when we don't deserve it. If he wasn't good, if he was only good to us when we deserved it, he wouldn't have to have much goodness, right? But he's good to us. Now there's been multitudes of songs written like, you know, he keeps on blessing and blessing. He keeps on pouring it on, all right? And it's odd. His love just keeps getting richer. And he keeps on giving a song. Amen. Why? Because he's so good. His goodness endureth to all generations. Hey, we ought to praise him for his goodness till the trumpet sounds. That'd keep us going for a while. But look at the rest of that verse, verse 21. Here's another reason. And for his wonderful works to the children of men. His wonderful works. Man, how often do you stop? Think about that. The wonderful works of God. He saved your soul. He saved your soul. Or he would if you'd come to him and trust him.
Amen.
And just think, man, what a blessing that is. How the wonderful works of God, that he's able to take that lost sinner, that one who's damned and doomed for hell, turn him around, forgive him, and just save his soul, give him a home in heaven, and he's headed in a totally different direction. The wonderful works of God, he's the only one that can do that. Nobody else can. Amen. Nobody else could save a soul. And boy, that salvation's so good, where the guilty, hell-deserving sinner gets pardoned through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, man, the wonderful works of God. Think about it, just a few of those works, the works of forgiveness, the work of forgiveness. I don't know how you are, but I need to be forgiven on a regular basis. I just need to be forgiven on a regular basis. And I have to come to him and ask his forgiveness. And we're in need of it. And the good thing about it, he'll do it every time you come. Every time you come. What a great thing. You ever been in a position where you felt guilty about going to somebody because you had gone so many times for the same thing? And you said, man, I hate to have to ask you again. Well, how many times have you had to ask God for forgiveness? But he always does it.
Amen.
You're talking about a wonderful work. Forgiveness. But he's not like us. He doesn't have trouble forgiving. We have trouble forgiving. We have trouble. You know, remember there in the New Testament when the question was asked, well, how many times am I supposed to forgive? Seven. Now, on the human side, don't you think that ought to be enough for the same offense? And if we, yeah, you know, I know y'all know what the Bible said, so you're not going to agree with me, all right? But come on, just as a human being, somebody offended you in one way, and they did it five times. You said, okay, I'm going to forgive you because you asked.
That's right.
And they did it six times, and you forgave them. But wouldn't you think seven would be enough? Wouldn't you really be tempted to say, all right, this is the seventh time, and I'm going to forgive you, but don't let it happen again.
Amen. Yeah.
Aren't you glad God's not like that?
Amen.
He said 70 times seven. But the great thing about it, if you're really forgiven, you're not counting.
Amen, that's right.
You're not counting.
Right. No, sir.
And the Lord, when he forgives, he forgets.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart. I don't believe he stacks it up. I don't believe he says, all right, Gabriel, mark that down. This 237th time I forgave him. The same thing. Write it down.
Right.
I don't believe he does that.
No.
But he keeps on forgiving. Boy, thank him, praise him for his wonderful work, the work of forgiveness. But not just the work of forgiveness, the work of provision. He provides for us. He daily provides your benefits.
Amen.
Daily provides your benefits. When I was a kid at home growing up, I never worried about getting up the next morning. Now, I realize some of you, and it's possible you did.
Yes, sir.
And I understand that. But I never worried once about waking up the next day and thinking, I hope there'll be something to eat.
No. Right.
I never worried about that. I never thought about it. I never worried about those kind of things. And can I just be real honest with you? I don't worry about it now.
Amen.
I believe God's going to provide my needs. I don't have to worry about it. He's promised he will provide. He's promised he'll provide. And if it's not at my house when I get up, I'm coming to your house. Okay, I'm just coming to your place. I'll figure the Lord put it at your place. And so I'm coming to get it, all right? And now you laugh about it, but could I say this to you? If you were in that situation and you had a need like that, I'd want you to come to my house. I'd want you to come, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you want somebody that loves the Lord and a member of the church with you, wouldn't you want them to come to your house? I wouldn't want them to sit at home thinking we don't have anything to eat. I'd just say, you come on, the Lord sent it to me for you, okay? So just come on, just come on. Hey, I believe he'll take care of us. I believe he provides for us. And I tell you, we ought to praise him for that provision. And it's not just food, it's our daily needs. We need a whole lot more than food, okay? We need those, and he promises to do it. He said, I will. I'm just going to take him at his word. And praise him for his mighty, wonderful works. Praise him for the work of protection. Protection. There's some of you that make him work overtime because of the foolish things you do, you know? Some people do dumb stuff. God has to work overtime on their behalf. I could tell you about people I know that have been members of the church one time or another, and some of the dumb things they did, and God protected them. God protected them. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He protects you.
Amen.
He protects you. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Have you ever run a red light? Run a stop sign? Did you get T-boned? Man, thank God he protected you. You stop and think about that a little bit. Man, for his wonderful works. I'll be honest, when I run a stop sign, I've run a red light on occasion. And I don't set out to do it, you know. But when I've done it in times, I never think, my first thought, I'm glad nobody was coming. But my first thought is not praise God for his protection. That ought to be.
Amen. Yep,
it ought to be.
That's right.
But it's just think, I'm glad nobody was coming.
Right.
Wait a minute. Praise him for his wonderful works. Amen. Hey, you ought to praise him until the trumpet sounds for his wonderful works. His goodness. He's good all the time, and he's always good. There's a reason to praise him. There's other reason. Look in Psalm 56, all right? The 56th Psalm, if you'd turn there with me. Here they are, just things in the Word of God that we take for granted. But in Psalm 56, verse 4, the Bible says, "In God I will praise His Word." I'll praise His Word.
Amen.
You ever stop and praise Him for the Word that you have from Him? The Word of God. The Word of God. We've got it in our hand. What a wonderful Word it is. It's perfect. It's eternal. It's preserved for us today. It's the inspired Word of God. But I like it. It's personal.
Amen.
Personal. When I read the Bible, I'm reading it because I need it.
Yep. Right.
And when God says you, I think he's talking to this you right here, me.
Amen.
Me. And there are those promises. I think, Lord, he's making that promise to me. It's a personal book. Personal book. Man, aren't you glad? Just praise him for his word. We have it. We know what he wants. We know what he expects. I was, the illustration I want to give you about this, when I was in the 10th grade, 10th grade in high school, I had biology class. And for some strange reason that year, we started school on Thursday. Thursday. So we went Thursday and Friday. And I was there. I was there Thursday and Friday. The next week, I got sick. And I think it's the only time in my life that I can remember anyway that I was sick Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And I didn't come back to school until Friday. When I got in biology class, I had no idea what was going on. No idea. Also, the teacher had dropped me from the class. When he called roll, he didn't call my name. I guess he figured you had your chance. You didn't show up, you're out. All right? He didn't call my name. I had to tell him, hey, I'm still here. But, I mean, he was doing things, asked questions, there was stuff going on. I have no idea. I didn't have any idea what they were doing. And, I mean, none. I'm going, what are y'all doing, you know? Just totally lost. I'm glad we've got the Word of God.
Amen.
Because I know what God expects from me. I know what He wants. I know what He'll do for me. I know His promises. Man, praise God for His Word. Aren't you glad you weren't raised in a culture or a climate somewhere where they served some God and you were always worried about offending Him?
Right.
And you always had to think about how can I do to appease Him? And if I do this, is this going to upset Him? Man, I'm glad it wasn't that way.
Amen.
I'm glad we've got the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm just going to praise Him for His Word He's given to us. And as I said, it's a personal thing. It applies to you right now, right where you are, right where you live, in your circumstances. It's written to you.
Amen.
Boy, I tell you, to me, that's reason to praise the Lord. And praise Him for His Word that He's given to us. Just another reason. Look in chapter 28 of Psalms. Psalm 28, if you will. Look at verse 7 here, all right? Psalm 28, verse 7. The Bible said, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him.
Amen.
Why? Because of what He is for me. He's my strength and my shield. My strength and my shield. Hey, man, I was an introverted little kid. I didn't have a lot of self-confidence. And when I was in school, there were many times where I felt like, you know, I just sort of like to be invisible.
Yep.
Now, you may have a hard time believing that, but it's true, all right? And I can remember thinking how good it is to have somebody to be the shield out there for me, all right? Somebody to be the shield. And that offers that protection. Well, what a wonderful thing it is. The Bible said He's our strength and our shield. That ought to cause us to praise Him. I can count on that fact. He'll do it. He'll never leave me nor forsake me.
Amen.
He will always be my strength and my shield. I'm never alone in this battle called life, okay? He's always there to provide that strength for me. When the fiery darts of the wicked are thrown my way, He's going to shield me from them. I believe He'll do it. I believe He'll do that. When old Satan tries to come and bring accusation against me, He's there to rebuke him and restrain him for my sake. He does it for you too. He does it for you too. He gives me strength for every day that comes along. Gives me strength. Lifts me up when I'm weary. Boy, I tell you, you get the picture? We ought to praise Him because of what He is for us. Our strength and our shield. What is it that provides your strength? What is it that makes you every morning when you open your eyes say, man, I want to get up and get after it.
Amen.
What is it that caused you to do that? Well, it's all that money flocking in, right? Well, I don't think it if you're just, you know, it's just falling on you real, you know, abundantly. But what makes you get up? Man, I'm glad God's my strength. I'm glad He gives me that impetus. He gives me that impetus. He'll lift me up. Good thing, man, when I stumble and fall, He's always right there. He's always right there to get me up, to be that help to me. What a blessing. You said, why should I praise Him? Because of what He is for you. Because of what He is for you. Just that. Let me give you something else to think about. Look in the 42nd Psalm, would you? The 42nd Psalm this evening. Look at verse 5. Verse 5, the Bible says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, now notice, for the help of his countenance. For the help of his countenance. Hey, that countenance we're talking about right here, that face. You ever think about the help of his countenance? As I was studying and preparing this message, I got into this verse and I got to thinking about it. Just to see his face. Just to see his face. Oh, the help of his countenance. When you were a kid growing up, did you ever look to your parents' face just to look for their approval? Have you ever watched kids maybe playing ball or something? Little kids more so than older ones, because older ones are cocky and arrogant. But those young ones, they'll take that baseball bat maybe and step up to the plate, but they look in the stands for the face of mom or dad. They want to see that approval, I want to be able to look at him and see, hey, he's approving of what I'm doing. What a blessing it is to see the smile of God. They'll be able to think, God's looking down on me. By the same token, it is a help to us if we see that disapproval. That disapproval. I don't know how many times in school I've had kids that would be doing something through the years and they'd look, because you know how kids are. You know, you can tell when a kid's fixing to get in trouble. They're spying out the land. Right? You with me? I mean, is anybody looking? I've seen kids doing that, and they look once, you know, and they look again, and I'd catch their eye, and I'd go. And it was, hey, that countenance was a good thing. Now, it was disapproval, but that's a good thing. Hey, wouldn't you be better off if you looked to him before you did something, and you saw that look that said, don't do it? Wouldn't that be better for us to do it than to go to him and see that look after we've done wrong? How much better to seek his face, to seek his countenance and say, Lord, what about this? Seek his approval. Boy, when I can see him, it helps me to know how I'm doing. And it helps me to know that if I can see his face, that I can just get a glimpse of the Lord. You said, preacher, do you actually physically see Noah? But you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Boy, just his countenance. Just his countenance. Now, one of these days, I'm going to stand face to face with him. Oh, I sure do want his approval then. Don't you? Don't you want to see that smiling face of God? Don't you want to see it that way? I'm reminded of the song about Stephen. Once a man named Stephen preached about the word. Right? That last verse goes in there, and it says, I believe when he gets to heaven, he said, I believe God smiled and said, Stephen, welcome home. Oh, to see the smile of God. Oh, to put that smile on his face, the help of his countenance. We're to praise him for the help of his countenance. Look in Psalm 118, verse 21. Psalms 118, verse 21, if you would. Might just think of another thing that there is to praise God for. And we're to praise him until the trumpet sounds. Psalms 118, verse 21. The Bible says, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Amen. Isn't it a wonderful thing that he hears you? Oh, what a blessing to know when you pray, he hears you. Amen. He hears you. What a wonderful thing it is to know he heard my cry. He heard my cry. David said, man, he heard my cry and lifted me out of that miry pit.
Right.
He heard my call. Aren't you glad he did? I'm glad back yonder when I was a 9-year-old boy, he heard my call for salvation. Amen. He saved my soul. But I'm glad since then I've cried out to him a lot of other times, and he heard my cry, and he helped me.
Amen.
And I know he heard me. I know he heard me. Oh, what a blessed thing that is. You talk about a reason to praise him. There's some reasons to praise him, okay? There's some reasons to just rejoice. And a blessing it is to know that he heard me, all right? I'm so glad. Hey, it's easy to praise the one that hears us, isn't it? Isn't it easy? Ought to be easy for us to praise him. We talk about praise him until the trumpet sounds. Ought to be easy to do. We know he hears us. Hey, there's not only a reason to praise, but don't you see this? There's a season to praise. There's a season to praise. Baseball season is starting up in the month of April. I think it's early in April. The Rangers be playing their first game, all right? The world gets excited about stuff like that. But I want you to look in Psalm 146. There is a season to praise, all right? A season to praise. And we're to be cognizant of that season. Verse 2, Psalms 146, verse 2. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have, notice, any being. So what's he saying? When's the season to praise? While you're alive.
Right.
You ought to praise him while you're alive. The season doesn't run from April to October. It doesn't run from August to January. No, the season is while you're alive.
Amen.
While you're alive, that's season to praise the Lord. I mean, there it is. Just let it go. There's never a closed season in your life. Never a closed season. If you're a hunter, there are seasons for different game. Different game. In Tarrant County, the season's always open for squirrel hunting. So if you want to go to Trinity Park, where there's a lot of them, it's open all the time. But you'll get put in jail for doing it down there, all right? I'm just saying there's an open season for some things, closed at other times. But when it comes to praising God, there's no closed season. If you're alive, all right, and you have any being, you and I, we're to praise him. We're to praise him. That's the season. There's one other season. Look back to Psalm 115, all right? One other thing about the season of praise. This is a wonderful thought, all right? Psalm 115, verse 18. The Bible said, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. You say, what are you getting at? What do you mean? Well, the season for praise doesn't close at death. It doesn't close at death. See, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are Christians, seemingly they're waiting till they get to heaven to praise him. The Bible does talk about them, you know, in heaven. You read there in Revelation, man, they're praising the Lord. A lot of praising going on. So a lot of people think, well, I'll wait till I get there. No, it's open season right now, as long as you live. But when you die, you don't cease to praise him. But when you die, you can praise him in his presence, all right? You be there physically to see him. We're going to spend much of eternity praising God. Just praising him. Just having a good old time praising the Lord. You say, how are we going to do it? I'm not sure about all the things there, but I can talk to you about some ways to praise him now, all right? There's some ways to praise him right now. Go back to where we started in Psalm 150, all right? Psalm 150. There's some advice on how to praise him, okay? How do we go about this? Well, Psalm 150, verse 3 says, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Hey, we can praise him with music. With music. You can do that. Now, how many of you play the trumpet? Oh, we're in trouble. Guess we can't praise him, right? I don't play the trumpet. And somebody said, well, I could bang the cymbals. Banging cymbals is not playing, okay? That's making a racket. Well, preacher, I can boogie. It says dance. That's not what it's talking about, all right? That's not what it's talking about. And stringed instruments. Well, hey, Ms. Noble, she plays the guitar. All right? I don't know if anybody else plays the guitar. Miss Abigail plays the flute, but it's not mentioned here, so it doesn't count. Now, I'm kidding, all right? I'm kidding. The piano's a stringed instrument. You say, well, I don't do any of that, all right? Hey, wait a minute. We can praise him with music. Now, not just racket.
Come on, amen.
Music. Not, you know, music is, when it comes to music, there's three elements. There's melody, there's harmony, and there's rhythm. And they don't outweigh one another. They blend together.
Amen.
When they don't blend together, you've got racket.
Yep.
You've got racket. Now, I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes my wife's kindergarten class and other kindergarten classes, sometimes they're supposed to be producing music. But I'll be honest with you. It really sounds like racket. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they've got little triangle and they do stuff like that, and it sounds like racket, but hey, when you're really doing it, music, it contains those three things and they work together. You say, well, I'm not talented. I can't play anything like that. Well, go back to Psalm 146, verse 2. Psalm 146, verse 2. We read part of this a while ago. It says, while I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being. I'll sing. Hey, that's the way we praise the Lord. When we gather together at church and we preach, Brother Marion gets up here and says, open your songbook. You know what we're doing? We're praising the Lord. We're praising the Lord. Every time we sing in the house of God, it should be in praise to God. Now, here's where you're lucky. Here's where you're lucky. You said, man, I don't have any talent. I am not a good singer. I can't carry a tune. That's okay. Because the Bible talks about a joyful noise, all right? A joyful noise. And if you put yourself into it in singing, it just has a wonderful way. I've said this a multitude of times. If you get just individual people, sometimes the singing is not good. There's some people that sing, it's flat. It's flat. And it's hard to describe that, but if you hear it, you know it, all right? You might not know how to describe it, but it's just not right, okay? And it's all, some people are tone deaf, just tone deaf. But I found this, if you get a crowd together and everybody will lift their voice in praise to God, it sounds good.
Yes, sir.
It just sounds good. God's able to make some of that discord harmonize in there some way, and it sounds good, all right? It did. Now, if you walked up down the aisle and leaned in next to the people, they'd quit singing, of course. But if they didn't see you and you leaned in and heard, you might think, that person there, they're not gifted, all right? But it's okay. That's why we do it together. And we praise the Lord in singing, all right? In singing. And, well, we ought to do that. We ought to do that. You know, to me, it's a sad thing that God's people know the songs of the world and they get out in the world and they sing those songs, but we don't sing the songs of Zion. We don't sing those songs. Man, we ought to sing them. We ought to sing them. I found myself humming tunes. I found myself in Walmart singing. I'm often whistling. At the Bible college where I teach, Mrs. Reed teaches on this semester. She teaches same time I am. And she's told me, she said, yeah, I know when you come in. Said, I hear you whistling, all right? Look, what are you doing? I'm trying to praise the Lord. I've thought about getting up here during the offertory. Tonight, the organ, the piano, the violin, and the flute. I was going to get up and whistle. All right. Just help them out, okay? I find myself whistling all the time. At mom's funeral. Probably dad's too. During the sing, I was whistling. Why? Hey, listen, I think we ought to sing and praise the Lord until we die. Every song for the Lord is a praise song. It doesn't have to be just a handful of words repeated 47 times. Every song ought to be a praise song for him. It ought to just be that way. We ought to praise him, not only with music, with singing. Look in Psalm 109, would you? Psalms 109. Notice what the Bible says here. Psalms 109, verse 30. Psalms 109, verse 30. The Bible said, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. I'll praise him with my mouth. Notice, among the multitude. Praise him with my mouth. Every time we get an opportunity, we're to praise God. Every time we get an opportunity, we're to praise the Lord. I've heard a person say one time, somebody asked him, how's the world treating you? Well, man, the world's not treating me very good, but the Lord sure is good.
Amen.
And what are they doing? Well, they're praising the Lord. They're praising the Lord. Man, it's a good time just for you to say, man, God's been good to me. He's been good to me. He's taken good care of me. Man, when something goes right, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all right? Don't say, man, I thank my lucky stars. You don't have any, all right?
Amen.
But you ought to praise the Lord. Praise him. Take your mouth and praise the Lord. Not just every opportunity comes along. Not quietly, it doesn't have to be. Praise the Lord. Among the multitude. Boy, that's a good chance to step up and say a good word for God.
Amen.
And you know, when you're out there at the Ranger game, if you want to go waste your money. If you're out there at the Ranger game and you're sitting in one of the more expensive seats there, just down the line, and that foul ball is fouled off the bat, and it comes flying past you, and you duck, and it slaps a person next to you upside the head.
Yeah.
You can say, praise the Lord, it didn't hit me.
Amen.
But I sure am sorry it hit you, all right? Yeah, but I mean, we ought to praise him. We ought to praise him all the time, every time, every time. Notice Psalms 111, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord half-heartedly in the assembly of the upright, and in the congregation. Now, all of you know that's not what it says. Even if you weren't looking at it, you know it doesn't say I'll praise him half-heartedly, right? Because that doesn't sound right, does it? Well, that's not what it says. It says I'll praise the Lord with my whole heart. With my whole heart. Hey, when you're going to do something for God, we ought not to give in. It ought not to be halfway. And if we're praising him, it ought to be with our whole heart. Not just going through the motions, not just putting on a show to impress somebody, but from the heart, with all my heart, with all my being. Hey, that's how I'm to praise the Lord, just from the heart, man, everything, honestly, honestly praising him with everything I've got. And can I say this to you? I think one of the greatest ways we can praise the Lord is the way we live. God's made a difference in our life.
Amen.
We can bring honor and glory to him by the way we live. The way we live. That there's power. Page 45. We sang it tonight.
Yeah. Pull your songbook out. All right.
Page 45. I hope my memory's right. Okay. Page 45. I want you to look, if you will, what it says there. Page 45, that last verse. Would you do service for Jesus, you King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. But wait it. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood of the Lamb. Hey, live daily. Live daily his praises to sing. Live daily to praise him. Our life, our whole life, ought to be praising God. Ought to be thanking him, you know. God's people are to be people that praise him. And I just want to say to you, don't let the charismatics scare you off from praising the Lord.
Amen.
Don't do that. Look, you may be having a difficult time, but you've still got a reason to praise him. You've still got a reason to praise him. I don't care if you sing it. I don't care if you sing his praise, you shout his praise, you spread his praise. But I just want you to let it be known he's worthy of our praise. Just make it a habit. I ask you, are you praising him? We praise men. We praise women. We praise some athletic team. But we don't praise God too much. Something's wrong when it's that way, okay? Something's just wrong. Look, I'm a sports fan too. Less now than I've ever been in my life because of the stuff that's going on and connected with sports in our day. But, you know, we get together and we talk about, you know, this is the greatest player and that's the greatest team and this and that. And the truth of the matter is there's no way to compare them. There's no way to compare them. It's our opinion on the deal. But when you start praising God, you're praising one that there is none greater. There is none even close to him. God's people ought to do it. God's people ought to do it. The sad thing is, I'm afraid the world sees us more complaining and murmuring and groaning than praising. We don't praise him the way we should. Praise is something that ought to be a habit. It ought to be part of us, okay? It ought to be part of us. Is it in your life? If it's not, what's the trouble? What's the trouble? Well, preacher, you just don't know the problems I have. No, I probably don't. But that ought not to keep you from praising God.
Amen.
Old Job had a few problems, don't you think? Don't you think he had a few problems? But he said, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Yeah, Job knew God was worthy to be praised. Let's praise him. Would you bow your heads tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to have an invitation in the sense of the musicians playing. Now, the invitation is open right now. If you need to come and kneel at this altar, you come. You come. And if God's speaking to you, you come. Don't hesitate. But I want to ask you this. Are you praising him the way you should? Do you praise the Lord the way you ought to? I mean, there's innumerable reasons to do it. The season is always open. There's a multitude of ways to do it. But are we doing it? Do you let people know that you're praising God for what he's done for you? That it's because of him, not because of you, not because of the circumstance, but it's because of him. Oh my, we ought to be people that praise him. Praise him. Could I encourage you tonight to just start planning to praise him? Just start living and say, I'm going to live my life and I'm going to look for a chance to praise him. I'm going to look for an opportunity to praise his name. And examine and say, do I do it the way I should? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Oh, you've been so good to us, Lord. That's right there, reason to praise you. The works that we've seen, the works you've done on our behalf, Lord, that's reason to praise you. And we just go on and on with so many things. And Lord, sometimes I'm ashamed of myself that I don't praise you more than I do. Lord, would you help us to do that? Help us to be the people that praise you. Lord, so when we get to heaven, we join in the praise up there. We'll already have had some practice down here. We will already put it in. We'd know what it is to praise you. Lord, help us to be those people that love you enough that we'll praise you the way we should. Now go with us now. Help us not to walk out and forget the message, but to walk out and decide to put it into practice. First, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Good to have you tonight. You're dismissed.